John chapter 13. As I have opportunity to minister the word, I'd like to follow this out for you, with you for a while. Last week, Sunday morning, we were thinking about the Lord washing the feet of the disciples and the need for believers to learn how to use the Word of God in their lives to cleanse themselves from the daily defilement that we come across. This is a basic lesson in the Christian life. By the way, all of the truths I'm going to be covering in this section are basic. But it's a basic truth of the Christian life that all fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ starts either through the washing of the regeneration of the Word of God in salvation, and then continual fellowship with Him. We must learn how to let the Word of God dwell richly in us, that we might be able to maintain a spiritual balance in this world. And He washed the feet of the disciples, and He said, "Do ye likewise, wash each other's feet." Now, of course, He wasn't talking about setting up an ordinance of foot washing. I believe that when He said the disciples should wash each other's feet, He wasn't just talking about humility. Yes, we should be humble and before the Lord learn to do little areas of service for each other. But because He was teaching them the need of cleansing and said, "I want you to do the same thing in each other's lives," I believe He was talking about helping each other with the Word of God in our fellowship, cleansing each other and encouraging each other with the Word of God. Not only do I learn how to use it in my life, not only do I learn how to confess my sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and let the Word of God work in my life, but then I learn how to use the Word of God in fellowship in other people's lives. And so I firmly believe when He said, "Wash one another's feet this way," He was not only referring to humility, but a proper use of the Word of God in our fellowship, one with another. Now there's a lot of material here, and I'm going to pass over some of the material. For example, starting in this latter part of chapter 13 and going into chapter 14, there are four conversations He carries on with disciples. Four questions they ask. And four areas of conversation He carries on with them, communicating some truth. Well, I'm going to pass over those questions this morning. And maybe some other time we'll take the four people and the questions they asked and the answers the Lord gave to them. But I'm going to pass over those this morning. And maybe some other time we'll take them up. But what I want to get you to get this morning is the impact of what's happening. The Lord is going to do things that they don't understand. They were waiting for a king. In fact, when He appeared on the mount, remember, He shone from within, showing His divinity, His divine character. And they said, "Well, let's build altars here." They were expecting, this is it. The kingdom's coming in, and now we're going to go on and conquer. And then He left that mount and went down and went back, and it confused them. And now this is worse. You see, He's alone with them because He knows they need encouragement. The ministry of the world is past. His miracles are past. And now He's sitting alone with these disciples, and it's rough. He calls them little children here in verse 33, speaking of the need for compassion and tenderness, the need for teaching and guidance. And so He's going to encourage them. But these people are going through it. All kinds of things are going to take place now that's going to blow their minds, if I can use that expression. I mean, already they're shaken up because He said, "One of you is a traitor," and that man has left. And then He tells Peter in verse 38, "And you're going to deny me." Wow! See? And Peter's the guy, "You know, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere." And the Lord said, "Well, you're going to learn a very bitter lesson. You're going to deny me." And this is shaking him up. He's leaving. One's a traitor. One of the leaders is going to deny him. How are our daily needs going to be met? How can He meet our daily needs? How can we maintain the kind of spiritual life that we think we ought to maintain if he's gone? When there was a storm on the sea and we were worried about sinking, he got up and he said, peace, and it was quiet. Wow. And when we were hungry, he could multiply the food anytime. We saw him feed big crowds and the sick. How are we going to be taken care of when he's gone? Who's going to take care of us? What's going to happen? And he told them that he's going away. In verse 33, little children, precious way of putting it, yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. There are three areas I'd like to cover. Two this morning and one tonight, if there's not a big snowstorm and the meeting's not canceled or something. The first thing he says is, I'm going away, but in my absence, I want you to find comfort in one another's love. The second thing he says, I am going away, but I want you to know that it's to my Father's house, and in due season I'm returning. This is what he says in the first part of chapter 14. And then the last thing that I want to cover in tonight will be, I am going away, but I want you to know that I am sending another comforter. Three areas of information that were important. That's why I'm overlooking the question and the dialogue he had with the disciples. Those are other matters. But three areas of teaching he's trying to get across to them. Now remember, he's teaching them about cleansing. He taught them about the need for cleansing from daily defilement. Now he's going to begin to take them in to deeper understanding of the truth. Church truth definitely is on a higher level than the truth of the law. Men in the Old Testament were saved by faith. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But we're on higher ground here. If I can use the word, we are in dispensation of grace. That's a bad word in some churches today. I don't know what other word to use. There's a truth here, a dispensational truth that's of a higher level. And the Lord Jesus has got just 11 men now that he's beginning to reveal things to, and he's just taking them through this process. But remember, everything starts with fellowship. You must learn how to be cleansed. Because he's going to start coming through with other things. The first thing he says is I'm going away. Look at the way he says it, the last part of verse 33. Where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, and then etc. in verse 34, he's going to begin his discourse. Now I say to you, I am going away, but in my absence, find comfort in one another's love. He's going to show them the real need to have the encouragement and love from one another. Absolutely essential. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. All right, he talks here about, first of all, a new commandment. And then this new commandment is to love one another. And then it is to be as I have loved you. Now, what does he mean by a new commandment? We don't have time this morning, but if you read in Leviticus 19:18 in the law, it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Love certainly wasn't unknown in the Old Testament. The need to love wasn't unknown. You should love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It certainly wasn't brand new. I mean, they had heard about love before. And so it wasn't just something he pulled out of nowhere. But it is new because the New Testament reveals to us some newness about it. It's new because the Holy Spirit does it. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. See, this is one thing the law couldn't do. The law could demand and say, do it, love your neighbor as yourself, but it gave you no power to love. It didn't give you any desire to love, it just said, lay down the law, do it. See? So what's new about his command is that he's going to give us the ability to love. And the New Testament reveals that it's just not a command. But behind it is an energizing power of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. It's also new or superior because in Matthew 5:43 the Lord says, "You have said, love your neighbor as yourself. But I say to you, love your enemy." So it's new because it's going beyond this reciprocal love. I love you, you love me, we form a mutual admiration society and say everything is whoop-de-doo. Everything is just fine. No, he says, I want you to love your enemies. So this love is, it's a new command. It goes beyond because love your enemies. You say love your neighbors. Well, I say love your enemies. So it is superior to the old because it goes beyond the old. It supplies the Holy Spirit. And it tells us to love our enemies. And then it's a higher degree of love. Because he says that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 34. It's a higher degree of love. As I have loved you. Very important. Now it's interesting. One of the first things he's going to do to tell them they need comfort is to tell them that they can find this comfort in love for with one another. I don't know how we think about this. Lord, you're leaving us. We're going to be alone. Where are we going to find encouragement and comfort? Love one another. It's a new command. I want you to see the new light, new power. It's superior to the old. Love your enemy as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. The badge of discipleship would be love. Now, to some people that were dressing in a certain way, oh, he's a holy man because he stands there and he's got little bells on the bottom of his tunic, and when he prays, everybody can notice that. Or he's a philosopher because he dresses the same way, different way. Or he's a military man because the way he dresses. And some people, I'm not criticizing this, by the way, so I don't think I'm being a smart aleck. A little dove pin. If you go to the South and states where they only have one license plate, like Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, very often in the front of the car you'll see a plate with a picture of a dove. And that's supposed to say something. It doesn't say as much as you think, because all kinds of people are putting that on. But that isn't the badge of discipleship. Something here, or plate on the front of your car. The badge of discipleship, the way all people will know us, is by our love for one another. And so the Lord is getting into this. You feel comfortless, I'm going away, you feel scared, you feel the need of encouragement and love. Well, find it in each other. Learn how to find it in each other. And as I have loved you, I want you to learn this. So that men will know you are my disciples. Men will say they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the biggest compliments that was paid to me in my ministry in Colombia a few years ago was very interesting. And I've never forgotten it. We had left Bogota. I went up to Bucaramanga and began the work there. And there were some problems in Bogota. And so as the work got growing in Bucaramanga and growing, we were quite happy and proud of what was going on. And finally some elder from one of the assemblies in Bogota was going to come for our Easter conference. And I kept thinking to myself, wait till he sees what old Duckhorn has done. Boy, I tell you. And takes the news back to Bogota. But I was thinking in terms of numbers. Boy. Well, Hermano Luis takes the news back to Bogota, what's happening here. And he spent 3 days in our home and ministered the word in the chapel there. And when he left, he said, boy, you really got to work here. And I thought, he's going to talk about numbers, he said. These people really care for each other. I hadn't thought about that. See? They really care for each other, he said. And I went up to Bogota about 3 or 4 months later for a series of meetings, and that's one of the first things somebody said, one of the chapels. Hermano Luis, brother Luis told us, you people really care for each other down there. Boy, we could really use that here. The more I think about it, the more I realize it was one of the biggest compliments ever paid to our work in Bucaramanga. We really care for each other. So the badge of discipleship, as I have loved you, in the absence of the Lord, we will find love and comfort in one another. The world is often a dark, cheerless, difficult place. Somebody told me last week, talking to somebody, my life is as if it were just nothing but a black cloud above my head. It's been like that for years. Just awful. And in the world, there's very little cheer, very little love and sympathy. But when we learn to love one another, we find this in one another. We find this sympathy and love and care. And what Paul says in Galatians, let's read in Galatians chapter 5. We have a unique fellowship. We all personally know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. And we have His example. In Galatians 5, 14 and 15, Paul is talking to the believers there about particular problems. He says, verse 13, let's read there. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Instead of having a fresh, vital fellowship, they were arguing about, should we be circumcised to be saved or shouldn't we? Should we keep the Sabbath or shouldn't we? Should we guard that feast day or shouldn't we? Should we keep the new moon or shouldn't we? This is what part of the hassle was here in Galatians. And instead of being drawn together in strength, they were bickering about all kinds of little things. Well, I think we ought to keep the Sabbath. Well, the Sabbath is done away in the Lord. Well, I think we ought to do this. And no, but the new moon is important, and these feast days are important. After all, we're not throwing over the whole economy. And they went on and on and on and on. And Paul is teaching them how these petty things can divide. And so now he takes them back. You've been called to liberty, but don't use this as an occasion for the flesh. But by love, serve one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one by another. And so, one of the first things the Lord is saying here is this need for love. The disciples also at times had harbored jealousy. You look back and you read carefully some of these portions. Jealousy, suspicion, who will be greater in the kingdom of God? It's like a couple of us. And Lord, tell us which one of the 12 here we're going to get just a little, better place. There were suspicions and petty jealousies. And now the Lord is saying, look, if you're really concerned about what's going to happen when I'm gone, learn how to find the strength in one another in love. It's awfully important. You say, well, we talk about love so much. We're talking about it. We put too much, perhaps, emphasis on it. Everybody's talking about it today. But have you noticed that very often the belief in the gospel and love are put together as essential things? Let's read, for example, in 1 John 3:23. I don't know why I'm shaking this morning, but I'm nervous. I'm normally not nervous, but well, that's a good sign, Ned. John 3:23. And this is His commandment, that you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Believe the gospel. Believe in His Son and love one another. 1 Peter 1:22 says something similar. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You have obeyed the truth. And immediately He said, love one another. And John in 1 John said, believe on the name of Jesus and love one another. This commandment. So the two are very close together. the gospel, belief in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and love for other believers is part and parcel of the gospel. So the first thing he's saying to them, and mind you, I'm just taking this apart the way he's putting it together. I'm not putting the cart before the horse. This is the way he put it together. If you feel you're going to be comfortless in my absence, learn to love one another. Very often we have problems with this. We're afraid, perhaps, of exposure. This is difficult, isn't it? If we become too involved, too close, we might expose ourselves. And then if we expose ourselves, people may not forget. You take my position. I'm not going to be around here too long and you're going to know me. See, I'm exposing myself to you all the time. And I try to hide just like anybody else. I don't want to be exposed. I don't want, you know, I want you to think the best. But we've got to do this. If we're going to open our hearts and learn from somebody else, they from us from them, learn to love, learn to give, then we've got to expose ourselves. We've got to get out from behind this religious paraphernalia that we often build up and not worry about what other people are going to think. And certainly if we demonstrate love, then we can show weakness. It won't be long, and you know my weaknesses. Won't be long. So he says, as I have loved you, his love was strong, constant, unchangeable. It says in Ephesians 5:2, he gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He gave himself to us, as I have loved you. You're sure that my love is unchangeable? Peter was going to find that out when he denied the Lord. Wow. Pretty soon Peter's going to say, I never knew him. No, I don't know him. Look, I tell you, I don't know that guy. What are you talking about? Now lay off. And he's going to learn. He's going to learn about the Lord's unchanging love. And he's going to learn about what it means to be cleansed. And another thing about this love, not only is it tied in with the gospel, but the Lord was famous for it. We don't have time now. We're running out of time this morning. But there were certainly scripture portions in the New Testament that talk about people knowing him by his love and the love he had for all men. And then when you get to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46, this again, the way they cared for each other, the way the disciples encouraged each other, the way the disciples met each other's needs, the world was talking about it. It was a good example to the people around. So the first thing he says is this, is I'm going away. But if you want to find the encouragement and comfort, you will find it in each other. We are all little children, waiting to be with him, waiting to see him face to face. And we sweat and we get discouraged. The uncertainty. Where's he going? Well, you can't go where I'm going now. Well, Lord, I'll go anywhere you go. Before the cock crows three times, Peter, you're going to deny me. The uncertainty, the fears, the distress, the anxieties, all of these things. But the Lord has told us we can find comfort and help in one another. One of the biggest churches in Milwaukee, in fact, the biggest church in our area, huge, doesn't really, in some ways, teach all the doctrine the way it ought to be taught. But I can tell you one thing. Word is out from one end of Milwaukee to the other. People care over there. If you're hurting, go over there. That's the place to go. Because people love. And a lot of the people over there are not drinking in a lot of doctrine. But I can tell you one thing. They're having fellowship. The word is out. Are you hurting? Here's the place to go. This is the kind of testimony we ought to have also. And people come in and see us. What do they think of us? How do we think of our brothers and sisters that we just know here on Sundays? Have we formed over the years friendships outside of our meeting? I'm going on, by the way, because I'm not going to start point two. There's just no time. But have we formed friendships outside of our meeting over the years? Have we discovered outside of this the genuine Christian ability of another man or woman? Have we seen that Jesus lives in all of us and that He's giving to us precious blessings? So often, see, the disciples are going to be alone. Oh, He's left and I just feel confused. Nobody has a problem like I have. You'd be surprised. And when the barriers start breaking down, you find out. A couple years ago in Colombia, I was having a particular problem and another missionary accompanied me to Malaga. He wanted to see what the work was going on, where it had spread out, that Malaga was doing well. And on the way up there, I was really low. Really low. And I needed fellowship. So I began to tell him about this problem, and I thought, oh boy, when he finds out. I should have known better because the scriptures say there is no temptation taking you, but it's common to man. I should have known that. As I began to share it, he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, boy, I've been going through the same thing and I'm just at my wit's end. Well, you can know how we spent the 3 days in Malaga. Besides ministering to the believers, we really had a ministry with each other. And the trip back from Malaga to Bucaramanga was much better. With singing and praises for what the Lord could do. And so the first thing is, yes, I'm going away and right now you can't come, but I'm giving you a new commandment, something that is superior to the old, something that is new, something that goes beyond loving your neighbor. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And by this will the world know you. Not by the way you dress or by the rituals you have, but by the love you have for one another. This is very important. And I don't think it's putting too much emphasis on it, simply because, as I mentioned in those two verses I read before, love is definitely put in the same verse with the gospel. You believe, and then you are to love. Let's get to know one another. One of the things we told our people in Bucaramanga is, get to know each other out of the meeting. Go to each other's homes. Get to know each other. Go for coffee. Take walks. Go on picnics. Do this, do that. But get to know one another. And it's true. We do. Our meeting in Bucaramanga is very close on that basis. So the first thing he says is, you must learn to love one another. You feel afraid? You feel alone because I'm going? You're worried about how your needs are going to be met now that I'm going to the Father and you can't come now? Well, I'll give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And you'll find comfort and encouragement in that. There's a whole world of discovery for us as we begin to get into each other's lives and discover what God is doing. Tonight, the second point. I intended to do the first one this morning. The second one is, I am going away, but it is to my Father's house. And it's for you because I'm going to prepare a place for you. May the Lord bless us as we see how He's unfolding this to His disciples. Alone with them, the words of a dying man to His disciples. And you don't waste words. The words of a dying man to His disciples. You feel comfortless. You feel alone. You feel that by my absence, your needs will not be met. We'll learn, brethren, to love one another as I have loved you. Father, we thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus. You've taught us that we need to cleanse, daily cleansing by the Word of God. And now to comfort our hearts, you're telling us that we can find encouragement in each other. In your absence, we can find this love and encouragement. We ask you to help us discover ways we can do this. Help us discover ways we can find out what you're doing in other people's lives. Help us to be gracious to people as you have loved us. Help us to be loving in the same way. Should we discover an area of weakness, Father, just help us to love as you loved us, discovering in us each day things that could easily condemn us. but your love is unchangeable. We thank you for these words, and we ask you for your guidance as we continue to study this portion. Help us to discover these words of this dying man to us, that we would get the impact of them in our lives. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.